This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. How does a family business get off the ground? Once it does, is it different from the large company down the street? How does a family business grow, and what happens when it's time to pass from one generation to another? Those are some of the questions that Laurel Ofstein tries to find the answers to. She is a professor of management at Western Michigan University's Haworth College of Business. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
How did you get interested in studying family businesses?
Well, my primary area of interest was entrepreneurship. And when I was doing my PhD at the University of Illinois Chicago, they asked me to teach an undergraduate class called Family Business Management. PhD students often are assigned classes to teach, so I was doing my duty in teaching and taking on this class. But after learning about the different content and the ways that family ownership and management of a business all interact, and having the guest speakers come to talk about their experience in their family businesses, I became hooked. It was so interesting to me. And the students who came from business families had such a deep connection to the content because they were living it. They'd grown up in business families. They had worked there during the summers. Their parents had told them stories about the previous generations of how the business worked. And so there was a real personal connection there to the students and then for me to the content.
I mentioned passing from one generation to another, which, of course, that brings about the image of parents and children working together. But if we're defining family businesses, it could also include, for instance, siblings or perhaps a married couple who don't have children. All of these things can be family businesses, right?
Yes, they can be. Certainly for a lot of entrepreneurs starting up, the first people who are willing to work for someone who's starting a business is your family, your siblings, your spouse. So we say that a family business can be founded as a sole proprietorship, as a sibling partnership between two or more siblings, and even as a cousin consortium. So cousins might be working together multiple generations. Many times a business might progress from a sole proprietorship in the next generation as parents pass it down to their children to some sort of a sibling partnership. And then as those siblings have families and their children take over, some sort of a cousin consortium. But certainly we see a lot of back and forth, even complex companies with multiple families choosing to go back to a sole proprietorship in future generations.
Are there some characteristics that you find fairly consistently in a family business as opposed to other types of companies which may be in the same field and competing? But do the family businesses tend to follow certain rules or guidelines, if we might use that term?
A lot of family businesses put family first, so they might look for family employees to hire for different positions before looking outside. Family businesses usually have family active in management. Whether or not they're working at the business on a day-to-day basis, they're often the decision makers in terms of strategy. They may have family on the board of advisors or on a board of directors, and they usually put family first in terms of decisions about the business. And often their employees first as well. Even non-family employees become part of the family.
When people might think of a small business, perhaps a bakery comes to mind. We've got a few in Kalamazoo. But it's also some of these companies which start off rather small tend to grow. We've got Stryker here in this part of the woods, Kellogg, Meijer. Is it rare, though, for a family business to grow that much where it becomes this worldwide corporation in the case of something like Stryker?
Yes, very much so. A lot of times family businesses want to stay local. They're interested in staying in their own communities. And when those businesses grow, Stryker, for example, went international many times over. And so because they have that kind of an international presence, you need to have family members that are willing to go work in those places. Or you need to grow and be okay with hiring non-family managers, non-family professionals who can take on those challenges. Finding the skills for growing a business as large as Meijer or as large as Stryker and making that work is very difficult because sometimes the second generation or whatever the next generation is doesn't have those skills.
And is that one of the keys to perhaps growth is that recognizing that there may be a need to find people who have skills beyond what the family unit has in and of itself.
Yes. One of the things I talk most about in a family business class that I teach now is about professionalizing the business, the importance of establishing job responsibilities, you know, job descriptions, the importance of creating an understanding of what the business needs to grow, creating the strategy first, and then coming back and seeing who the right people are to fill those roles. And when you have an objective way of measuring sort of where the business is going and how you're going to get there, you wouldn't, if you were thinking objectively, always hire family first for those positions.
Because when you're making a business decision and thinking about what's best for the business, you want to consider all possibilities sometimes, correct?
Yeah, you should. And so family businesses don't always want to grow. They want it to be more family-centric. And so they may not make those decisions, and that's okay. You know, it's not every business's goal to be the next multi-million dollar business. Many people want to provide a good living for themselves and for their family members, and that's why they maintain the family business, and that's why they have the family business, because it supports their family and the lifestyle that that they've come to enjoy.
Why do you find students from family-run businesses often taking your class?
So I teach a family business management class at Western in the College of Business, and the students are so excited to meet other students that are part of a family business. It can feel very isolating sometimes because you look at other businesses that maybe are non-family business, and they're not having an argument in the middle of the day with their mom in the lunchroom or with their brother over a decision where, you know, things about, well, you always came in first in, you know, in sports and I was always second and now I'm trying to lead and you don't understand where I'm coming from. You don't think I can lead this because I wasn't ever first. All of these things from childhood come into play. And so having an understanding that that's normal in family business, that there are ways to set some boundaries around that, is so enlightening for these students. And usually they come away with a really strong understanding that they're not alone, that there are ways to professionalize the business.
Do they sometimes take your class seeking the answer to the question, should I be that next generation to run the family business?
Yes. And sometimes they come away with a much stronger feeling that I can do this. And sometimes they come away with the feeling that, wow, this is not for me. I just don't think that if this is how family businesses run, the successful ones versus the unsuccessful ones, I don't see my parent or my uncle or whoever they're working for being able to make these changes to make this a place that I'm willing to work long term.
What are some things that you advise students to do if they are on the fence and they're not sure? Yes, I think it seems like something I could do, but maybe there are other things I would rather do. If they're on the fence, what do you advise them?
First, I advise students to talk to their parents or whatever member of their family is leading the business. It's amazing how many times I ask students to interview a family business and they interview their parent because they've never talked to them in a formal way about the business, about where they see their child taking on, you know, what kind of role they see their child taking on after graduation. And sometimes the parent is ready to step back or has a plan in mind, and it surprises the student and they're excited about what that possibility looks like. In other cases, I also advise the students to encourage a frank conversation around job descriptions, around what kind of ownership plan might be in place in the future. Estate planning is very much tied up into this. It's hard for students or any child to ask their parents, hey, you know, what kind of planning have you done for, you know, when something happens to you? But many family business transitions happen suddenly based on some kind of a triggering event. The parent has a health event, like a heart attack, or someone dies in a major accident. It's very unfortunate, but we see it in even some of our businesses here in Kalamazoo, that a tragedy throws the next generation into the role of leading a family business, and they didn't know what their parents' wishes were.
do you also advise students that there are some other things they might want to go out and explore, and that maybe this decision on taking over the family business should wait just a little bit?
Definitely. One of the strongest success factors for the next generation succeeding in a family business is outside work experience. We tell them, go get a job somewhere at a similar business, in the same industry maybe, in a similar field, and get experience that you can bring back into your family business. And make sure then that you want to be in this industry, that you want to be part of the family business. When students go into a family business because out of guilt, out of fear that they're missing an opportunity that won't be there in the future if they don't take it now, those aren't the true feelings of passion for the business, of feeling that you have a contribution to make, that you would get from going and working somewhere else for a few years, learning the best practices of another business, what works and what doesn't, and also getting objective performance feedback. So getting a performance appraisal from someone who is not your parent or someone who's worked with your parent for the last 10 years and knows that someday you could be their boss. You know, that's a difficult situation to be in for someone who's been working at the company for a long time and is looking at someone in their 20s who may be their boss within the next 5 to 10 years.
So you're getting the feedback about what kind of worker you actually are. It's also possible you might learn a thing or two about the industry that you're in that has not yet found its way to the family business that one day you might run.
Definitely, definitely. Because sometimes the way of thinking, I think in all businesses, you know, you look back at the history of the business. How have we done it in the past? What was successful in the past? And that's what you use often as a guideline for what you should do in the future. But coming from another perspective, coming from another business, you might bring in things that would be unexpected in the family business that could really lead to success.
So if a family business is handed down from one generation to another, the children of the owner or child of the owner decides that they want to take this on, do we see some things that evolve in that business typically? In other words, does the business change in meaningful ways when it goes from one generation to the next?
The business should change when it goes from one generation to the next. The original generation works really hard to build the business, and that takes a lot of skills in the particular craft that or particular industry that the business is in. For example, manufacturing, they might have to establish the relationships with big clients. Here in Michigan, we have a lot of family businesses that make things for the auto industry. So many years ago, they established those relationships. They came up with the ways to produce the materials, to source the suppliers. But by the time you get to the second generation, if you want to grow, you have to come up with new materials. You have to think, what's next on customers' minds? And so you have to be looking for ways to innovate within the company and also to manage a much larger group of people. So the first generation maybe hires, you know, several people in their lifetime, but they meet all those people that they hire. They know everyone at the company. But by the second generation, if you're going to open a second location, if you're going to start to hire an HR person, you're going to hire people to manage a manufacturing plant, and then maybe you open a second one, you're not going to be able to use those personal relationships. You have to think about innovation, about professional roles, and how to grow the business in a way that makes sense.
Is it rare for a family business to keep going for generations? In other words, is it more likely that the parents may get the business started and then either their children or, if not them, the grandchildren decide, no, this isn't for me?
Yeah, actually, only about 30% of family businesses are successfully transferred to the second generation. Only about 12% make it to the third generation, and 4% to the fourth and beyond. So here in Michigan, we did some research and found that we're a little bit higher in West Michigan in terms of our family business success rates. We did a survey that included about 150 family businesses and found that about 15% of them were in the third generation and 11% were in the fourth, so way over that 4%. In many cases, we see that over the generations, the business is taken for granted by later generations. We say from shirt sleeves to shirt sleeves in three generations, something that's used a lot in family business to explain how the first generation, especially thinking historically to the businesses that are here in West Michigan, may have been started by a grandparent who came from another country and started their own business and grew it to be what their family could live on. But there were a lot of tough times, good times and bad times. And by the time that generation passed it on to maybe the parent generation, so the second generation, they led a pretty good lifestyle. They were able to grow the business. The business was up and running. It was doing well. And when they have children, the third generation, the grandchildren of the founder, they grow up in luxury. They oftentimes have everything they need. They don't have to work as hard. They don't remember the history from the grandparents and how they struggled. The parent might remember the early days of the business and how they couldn't, they didn't have everything they needed. The grandparent wasn't at their baseball games, didn't have the flexibility because there weren't the right people in place. But the grandchildren grow up and many times don't have that same work ethic and sometimes run the business into the ground.
Is it rare for a quote-unquote family business to get started and by the second or third generation be operating well but run by someone who is not part of the family which got it off the ground?
Yes. Family business is known for the intersection of family, management, and ownership. And so In some cases, it can be a very successful strategy for family businesses, is to keep family in the ownership role. They're still in the family and the ownership roles, but to make the management role external to the family, bring in people that have the specific skills that the business needs. This was the first year, well, at the end of 2016, that Meyer brought in a non-family CEO. So Rick Keyes came in December. He succeeded Hank Meyer, who is CEO and is now executive chairman of the board. And Meyer is growing. It continues to be such a huge business. The family is still very much involved. They're still involved, I'm sure, in the strategic decision-making of that business. But it's okay to bring in someone who has a specific skill set, maybe someone who has experience from outside the company, just like encouraging your children to work outside the company before they come in. Bring in a professional manager, someone who's worked at a similar business, to bring in new ideas to grow your company.
Do you see any trends on the horizon, or is family business one of those things which is a phenomenon that will probably be very static going forward? Not static necessarily in terms of individual businesses, but that these will be the characteristics that family businesses will probably have for 10, 20 years down the line? Or have there been changes in how family businesses have been run that might indicate that that dynamic is shifting in any way, meaningful way?
I think that dynamic is definitely shifting. You can see it in terms of family farms. Children aren't taking over the family farm. In many cases, that land is very valuable, so it's very difficult to a very difficult decision for the parents who maybe have a lot of their money tied up in that family farm and want it to continue as well. But the children aren't interested in farming. The same in other family businesses around manufacturing, construction, that's what many of these businesses were. And now students are going to college at a higher rate. And so because of that, they don't maybe want to take over the management of that firm. So what we're seeing is something we're calling transgenerational entrepreneurship, which is the family business actually acting as venture capitalists for their children to start their own businesses. So yes, the children are starting businesses, and maybe they might even be related to the family business in some ancillary way. But they're using money from the family business, from the family's wealth that it's been amassed from the family business, to start their own new business, which maybe will be a family business in the future, but not necessarily going back into that original family business.
Is the key for a family business going forward answering a couple of different questions here? One of those being, do the children have at least similar interests to the parents in it may be in this similar industries that they both find interesting? And then the second one being, do the children have the same interest as their parents in actually owning the business and running the business, which is a whole nother set of skills and a set of commitment? Are those two questions that you have to answer? And if you don't answer them both yes, then maybe this isn't going to work?
Definitely. Many children of family business owners saw their parents struggle, saw their parents not be able to take vacations because of the business, saw them argue with their siblings who maybe were also involved in the business, perhaps to the extent that parts of the family aren't even talking anymore. A lot of times those business complications get brought into the family. And so the next generation may not, even if they're interested in the industry, may not want that kind of lifestyle. They may choose to go work for someone else to be successful in a career that where they don't have those complications, where they don't have to face those challenges.
Laura Lofstein, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you for having me.
Laura Lofstein is a professor of management in Western Michigan University's Haworth College of Business. This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans.